All right. Excuse me. So we're starting a new series today. A new series called God's Rhythms of Grace. And the specific subject for today is God's Tempo for Your Life. So we ended last week, you know, the last three sermons of the Holy Spirit Empowered series were on destiny, on inner healing, and then deliverance, all those connected to one another. And so where I believe God wants to take us now is, okay, so we're starting to understand better, you know, his plan, and his good plan for every one of his children does not mean a lack of suffering. It does not mean a lack of injustice. It does not mean a lack of obstacles. Actually, all of those things are a part of walking into God's plan. Those are hindrances that are meant to derail us from where God wants to take us. And so as we start to transition into more and more of who God wants us to be, which then leads to being able to do the things God wants us to do, I think that what's missing, not what's missing, but one of the things that we often miss out on is that God has created rhythms, spiritual rhythms for our lives that are to keep us grounded in relationship with him, keep us grounded in his power, so that no matter what storm comes through him, we'll be able to weather it. The problem is that, you know, especially in culture today, in society today, we get so out of rhythm with God's intended, you know, tempo that it becomes even more difficult to live out and faithfully what he wants from us because we're kind of getting in our own way. So this is God's Rhythms of Grace is taking us back to God's natural built-in patterns of life that he wants us to experience so that there's nothing that can overcome us and it'll just foster our relationship with him. So we're going to be coming out of Matthew chapter 11 today. And I'm going to read it first in the New Living Translation, which is, you know, a little bit more of a literal translation. And then we're going to go to the Message translation, which the Message is not really a translation. It's more of like a commentary. But I think it's in a very appropriate commentary for these three verses. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" So there's a few words in there that are not really common to the way we speak today. So I think the Message as a commentary does a great job of bringing it into our world. So once again, Matthew 11, 28 through the Message says, "Then Jesus said, 'Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.'" And so, once again, God's tempo for our life that he makes for every one of his children is meant to keep us from, is meant to empower us to live freely and lightly and free and from being overburdened by everything that goes on in this life. So we just got to start with a couple definitions real quick. So rhythm in general. Rhythm is a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. Rhythm in music, obviously rhythm as we move and we dance. But when we talk about the rhythms of God's grace, we're talking specifically about God's intentional and spiritual patterns for humanity that account for the nourishment his children need for redemption, rest, and renewal as they each run their race. As the scripture says, we each have our own race to run, and it's a marathon. And just like any marathon, you know, marathons generally imply much longer distances. Marathons generally have different terrains, which means sometimes it's a hill, sometimes it's a mountain, sometimes it's downhill, sometimes it's rocky, sometimes it's grassy. The terrain is constantly changing in a marathon. And our life, you know, the seasons of life the terrain and troubles that come that we didn't see coming, they change, and we're powerless to control those changes. But God's rhythm of grace, those rhythms of grace, have built in redemption, rest, and renewal, so that we're not going to get burned out in any particular leg of the run or of the marathon. Okay? So we're going to go to principle number one, and that is that God's tempo, which means God's speed, God's tempo for your life enables you to be all that you are called to be. It enables you to do all that God wants to do through you. So when I say all that you are called to be, once again, we're talking about that God's good plan for your life, that destiny that God has for you. Okay? And we see this in, and we're going to use the Message here, verse 28. Then Jesus said, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." And when he says you'll recover your life, he's specifically talking about that good plan that he has for you. He's talking about that destiny that he has for you. He's talking about the good works that he predestined you to do through Christ. And that's the life that he wants you to recover. But it does depend on his tempo. You know, one of the things that that gets us out of that tempo and what gets us out of the good plan God has for us is just the speed of life that we're living right now. I don't think there's been, you know, a generation, many generations before us that have as much multitasking that we have to do on a daily basis, that have as many burdens, right? We would think that with technology, things become much easier and, oh, we can do this and we can do that. But we've just piled so much on our plate that it's just become a burden, right? It's caused us to get worn out and burned out and tired. And no matter how much, you know, days off we may get during the week or how many vacations we try to build in, ultimately, you know, you're not being refreshed. You're not being renewed. Right? You're not being revitalized. And so just take a minute and stop and think for a second about how much you have to do on a daily basis, or how much some of our brothers and sisters here have to do on a daily basis, right? If you're a stay-at-home mom, right? And I don't say that as a negative thing, but I'm just saying there's always this stigma that stay-at-home moms, oh, it's not really that hard. Yeah, right. Try to raise a family, be a stay-at-home mom, you know, and now all of us, you know, I've been joking with my friends as pastors, you know, we all became televangelists because of the shelter in place, and everybody became, not everybody, but almost everybody became a stay-at-home something now. You know, you're a stay-at-home teacher or you're a stay-at-home boss, and obviously you know how difficult it is to carry those things out. Versus going to the workplace and being less distracted, right? If you're married, you have a spouse to take care of. If you have children, you got them to take care of. If you're single, it's difficult to set boundaries and manage your time effectively because a lot of people assume that since you're single, you can do it, right? And so we all have these complications that we got going on. And the main thing is this. I'm going to ask you as a question this way to evaluate if you fit this category. Do you ever feel like you're running as hard as you can, as fast as you can, for as long as you can, and yet you're getting nowhere, right? If you feel that way, and it's not, I'm not saying you feel like this every second of every day, but if you feel like you're running as hard as you can, as fast as you can, as long as you can, and yet you're not getting anywhere, that's where God wants to reach in, and he wants to reset you back to his temple for life. And obviously, this is just an introduction to the series. So we're going to talk about the different rhythms of God's grace that sets the tempo. You know, things like Sabbath rest, obviously praying, obviously solitude. But there's other things that he has built in that we'll talk about in this series. But ultimately, we need to recognize today that we're on a hamster wheel that's going nowhere. And that's not God's plan for us. Sometimes we get overburdened, yes, because circumstances hit that are difficult, yes, because unforeseen things happen, but it's also because we don't have any margin in our life. We're not leaving any room for when those things hit to stay in a spiritually healthy place. And so this takes us to principle number two. God's temple for your life is about aligning how you spend your most precious non-renewable resource, time, so that it matches the priorities of the Father's heart. Okay? And we see this in verse 29. Jesus, once again, talking to us, says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And so, you know, God gives us all time here on earth, but it is a limited time. He knows the limit of that time, right? Every day has been picked out for us before we're even born. And so we often, and this is, you know, one of the major distractions to really partnering with God and aligning your sails with the wind of the Holy Spirit, is that instead of really seeking out what are those things that God predestined me to do, where is God literally leading me right now, which is where we want to be all the time, we often get caught up doing a lot of good things. I mean, they're good things to do, but they might not literally be the things that God has for us to do. And so because we have limited time, we need to make sure our time, the way it's being used, matches the priorities of God's heart. And we know Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, which is why when he's here, he says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the Father's heart. Understand what it is that is most important to him. See, there's a lot of things that are important to us that they're not necessarily the most important things to God. And we want to partner with God to understand what's most important to him. We want to be able to speak his love language, right? It's kind of like, you know, let's say I think I'm showing my wife love by buying her flowers all the time. Well, anybody who knows Sarah knows she's allergic to flowers. So while I may be trying to do a good thing that I think communicates my love to her, because I don't know her enough, I'm missing out on what would actually make her feel loved. I'm doing what would make me feel loved, but not what makes her feel loved. And so as we think about what God wants, right, what the Father's heart is regarding the priorities of our life, we need to get tapped into that versus what our priorities are. This takes us to principle number three. Discovering God's temple for your life requires both awareness and intentionality, as you learn to listen and move to the sound of his rhythmic beat. So when I say that God's temple, you know, it's not something that comes natural to us. And we have to be willing, you know, we have to be actively aware and intentional so that we can see where it's kind of like, you know, it's music, right? We're talking about rhythm. And we know that there's different types of music for different types of moods. And so if you listen to the radio, I don't even know if people listen to the radio anymore, but as I listen to the radio, obviously as one song transitions to another, and even the rhythm within just one single song, you know there's parts of tempo that really go up, they go really fast, they stop, they slow down. There's this rhythmic beat that we need to be aware of regarding our life. And we need to be aware and intentional that it exists so that we can partner with God. And one of the ways I can communicate that to you, I was talking about this in our Sunday morning Bible study. Everybody here, I believe, is aware of Blockbuster Video, and I'm sure probably almost every single one of us was some kind of customer of Blockbuster Video back in the 90s. And see, Blockbuster Video was something brand new at the time, which was what made them a multi-million dollar company. They were a multi-million dollar company when there wasn't billion dollar companies yet. To be multi-million was excellent. And they had come up with this new idea, right? Like instead of everybody having to go to the theater, we're going to be able to offer you the movies that you can come and pick up at the store. You have snacks here for less money than what it costs at the theater. You go home and you watch it in the comfort of your own home. They did well. I think they started like in 1987. And in 2000, Blockbuster's at the top of their game. In the year 2000, this small company comes to them and they say, hey, look, we want you to buy us. We came up with a way to be able to send people these things called DVDs, because everybody had video cassettes up to this point. We have these things called DVDs that are easier and lighter to mail, and we will mail it so people don't have to come to the store. And the executives at Blockbuster laughed them, you know, out of the building and said, nobody wants that. Everybody wants to go to Blockbuster. They want the experience of being there. Okay, fine. 2 years later go by, same company comes back to the Blockbuster executive board and says, look, we want you to buy us. We still are doing the same thing, but now there's even a more radical shift. We believe that people want to be able to go onto a website and be able to watch the movie from home without even having to play a DVD. Once again, Blockbuster laughed them out of the building, said, we're never going to do that. And, of course, the company that did that was Netflix. Netflix was the one that was rejected by Blockbuster twice. And because Blockbuster was not aware, they were not intentional about the next step, right? I'm not saying Netflix is godsend. Maybe somebody feels like that when there's nothing else to do, but bottom line is they were not intentional. They were not aware of what was coming next, right? They had no intentionality in that. And it cost them to be bankrupt. And so same thing with our life with God and the tempo and the rhythm that God gives us. We need to be intentional and aware of what God is trying to do in our life. Yeah, even when things are really great, we get satisfied and we kind of just lock into that and we try to hang on to that as tight as we can. And of course, that causes us to miss the next thing that God is doing. And, you know, if I was challenging the Sunday morning Bible study group on this, one of the things that we get caught up in, I think, unknowingly, is that because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know, that scripture, we often assume that God's not going to do something new. I don't know how we get locked into that. You know, it's why even Christians, we struggle so much with change, even though we know that God is a God that is constantly changing things. And, you know, even if we go back to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, God is telling the Israelites at the time, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And if the shelter in place in COVID has taught us anything, it is that God is doing something new. He's shaking us out of the routines that we had. He's shaking us out of the paradigms that we got comfortable in. You know, think about even church. For those of us that continue to look and seek for God, we're starting to discover more of our own spirituality the other 6 days of the week. More connectedness with God the other 6 days of the week. And hopefully this is fueling a hunger to know him even more that gets us out of just, you know, the metric of, hey, I showed up to church, I fulfilled my duty. That's no longer going to be a thing. Now it's going to be about how are you intentionally seeking God in every part of your day, every day of the week. So we got to be aware and we got to be intentional. This is the way things are going. How does God want me to partner with him? Because obviously none of us saw COVID coming. None of us can stop the shelter in place legally. And so what is God up to and how do we partner with him in that? And that leads us to principle number 4, which is that accepting the rhythm of God's tempo for your life requires letting it all go. The only way you can partner with God and get into his tempo and his rhythm is if you let go of your own. And that's the hardest thing that many of us will have to face. But when we talk about, let's go to scripture real quick, verse 30. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So here's the thing. Jesus himself, as God, tells us, I'm not putting his heaviness on you. I'm not making you have this thing that's ill-fitting on you. That's the yoke. So guess what? Many of us still feel a bunch of heaviness and burden. A bunch of us have an ill-fitting life, but that's not God's doing. That's the whole thing. God didn't do that to us. We did it to ourselves. And so in order to break free from that and to receive the free and light life that Jesus has for us, we have to let it all go. But when I say let it all go, that doesn't mean quitting or abandoning your duties, running away, or giving up. It means letting go of the fear, guilt, shame, stress, helplessness, insecurity, perfectionism, the double life, the mask, the charade that we, that, you know, et cetera. There's so many motivators that keep us with the heavy burdens, that keep us in the ill-fitting yoke, that are more about the internal feelings that we feel than they are about following God. And so in order to accept God's rhythm for your life, you have to give up all the junk, right? That's what we talked about, that inner healing. We talked about the deliverance, how God will partner with you to set you free. But once you get set free, you can't just return to what you've been doing. You have to learn to walk in the rhythm and tempo of God's grace for your life. And this takes us to our last principle of the day, principle number 5. Embracing the rhythm of God's tempo for your life will allow you to move to God's soundtrack for your life, which is sustainable because it has built-in defaults of redemption, rest, and renewal. And what this means is, you know, this part of life, for example, Sabbath rest. That's a different topic for a different day, but I just want to show you how it works. Sabbath rest is God's weekly built-in period, you know, rhythm for redemption, rest, and renewal. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, look at what we've done as human beings. We work. We push until the point of breaking, and then we take a vacation. But then we already know we go on vacation, and then we even overachieve in vacation. We got to do this and that and this and that and this and that. And then we come back from vacation, and we're even more burned out than when we went on vacation. We're not understanding the rhythm of God's tempo for redemption, rest, and renewal. You're not supposed to work, you know, I'm not trying to lecture here, but God's pattern for work was never 9 straight months of back-breaking work, 2 weeks of vacation, then back at it again. His is work 6 days, break. And in that break, you're resting, you're being renewed, you're connecting with God, you're being refreshed, you're being revitalized, 6 more days, rest. Then you can also have your built-in vacations and holidays. You know, I don't know if you know this, but holidays is a combination of 2 words, holy days. God has put in holy days of rest and celebration from day one. And we've kind of missed the point, especially when we combine the words holy days into holidays. Right now, holidays become about the barbecue. And not, I mean, I love barbecue more than anyone. But my point is that we're missing what God's intended rhythms of life for us are all about. And we need to rediscover that. And that's what this whole series is all about. Are you even aware of what the rhythm of God's grace is for your life? Do you even understand what God's tempo for your life is supposed to look like? And that's what we're going to be dealing with. So God's rhythms of grace is tempo for your life.